Education and healthcare reporting on SDPB is supported by Regional Health, helping patients and communities live well.
Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Children thrive when they live in communities that care about helping them reach their full potentials. The South Dakota Association for the Education of Young Children promotes high-quality care and early learning for all children, birth through age 8. They advocate for early childhood care and education in local, statewide, and national platforms. Jessica Castleberry is the president of the association, and she joins us today from the Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio in downtown Rapid City. Jessica, welcome to the program. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on the program today.
Tell us a little bit about your membership, and it's statewide. Explain the scope of your organization.
Absolutely. We have several different membership types, and those range from professional memberships to family memberships. So our membership base is made up of basically everyone from parents of young children to grandparents to university professors, childhood educators who are working in our field. We have a very broad membership base.
And who are you looking for? Like, what kind of people are sort of reaching out and making that connection?
The majority of the people who are finding a place with us are those who are interested and invested in early learning. And so when we're talking about early learning, it's not just what someone might assume is early childhood care or education specifically, but anyone who is interested in helping support early learners, so anyone that's in that birth through age 8 group.
How you said birth there, but tell us a little bit, like, you know, when should we be thinking, you know, not only as parents, but as a society, about when learning really begins?
Well, that's an excellent question and something that I think that a lot of people don't take into consideration. They look at education as beginning with school, and babies are rapidly learning from the moment that they're born, in the way that we interact with them, in the way that we speak to them, and the experiences that we expose them to, the way that we make eye contact, the way that we have physical contact with them, all of those neural pathways are being laid from the moment that they're born. And then, of course, as many of us are aware, from before the time that they're born. But for our purposes, we'll focus on that moment that they come into our world.
Right. And it's a complex thing because it's about, you know, human development and brain development. But it's also sometimes it seems as a parent incredibly simple. I remember, you know, introducing my child for the first time to a leaf and just the fascination she had as a baby with this leaf that was on a tree. So some of it is just what we kind of do naturally, and some of it's very intentional. Do you try to make some of those natural things intentional? Do you try to, you know, in educating people, are you looking to sort of get them to pay attention to what they're already doing or do a lot more?
You have an excellent point about the fascination of your child with the leaf. Those learning moments happen every day if we are aware and tuning in to what children are doing. And it doesn't have to be something that is a structured learning activity by any means. Something that I have noticed that has become a trend, unfortunately, is that we have a lot of parents who are tuned into electronic devices, and we want to remind them of the importance of tuning into something as simple as a trip to the grocery store, or, like you said, you know, a time in the yard and looking at the bugs and looking at the nature around them. There are so many communication opportunities, and just you can create a curiosity and a love for learning through those everyday interactions.
Mm-hmm. I've told this story before, but I think it's worth repeating, in that I had some friends when their daughter was born. Very early, she was using an app to recognize her letters and to sort of finger, you know, on the screen, finger trace the letters. And it was, you know, pretty exciting to watch. And then they put a magazine in front of her and she couldn't turn the page. So, because she tried to swipe it. So then they, there's more happening. We gotta pay attention to more than just that app. You can watch it happen, you know, with children pretty quickly. Let's talk a little bit about resources that you have for those members, and I want to talk about public policy in a little bit, but let's stick with some of those, you know, those education pieces for parents and, you know, daycare providers or childcare providers, preschool teachers. What kind of resources does your organization have to help with that level of education and idea raising?
Sure. We have a lot of different types of resources, and so I'll touch on just a few. In a very simple way, we have a list of resources on our website, which involves everything from developmental milestones to simple activities that educators or parents can be doing with children of all ages. We do also have access and can provide access to the South Dakota Early Learning Guidelines, and that is an excellent publication that we collaborated on several years ago that is very specific about outlining those different developmental milestones and different areas that children should be reaching within cognitive, physical, social, emotional well-being. And those can easily be adapted for classrooms or for use at home. And that was recently expanded to include infant toddlers, so it is not just focused on the preschool age. We also, as far as the South Dakota Association for the Education of Young Children, is the state affiliate representative of the National Association for the Education of Young Children. So when people join SDAYC, they automatically also become a member of our national parent organization. And through that resource, members are sent books of different interest areas and things of that nature, which it's a wonderful thing to be able to fill out that application and to indicate what your interests are and to get very top quality resources, both online resources and then actual physical books. I'm always a fan of actually holding a book.
So as a parent, one of the things that I think a lot of parents find is the more information you have, really, the you know, it makes parenting a little more fun. You can kind of, there's games and songs and it brings you into the process, but it's also incredibly important. What are some of the, how quickly is the research revealing new things about early childhood learning that is really important to know, to put into perspective how vital it is other than just, playtime?
Well, there is a ton of research, and this is really a hot topic right now. Also from the perspective of being a future community member support initiative, right. We as parents, of course, want to prepare our kids for the future and prepare them for school. But a lot of the research that's coming out right now is really highlighting how much of a future community development issue it is if kids are plugged in all the time and they're not getting the types of high quality interactions, whether that's with grandma and grandpa or in a childcare setting.
And that broadens our topic a little bit to some of the public policy issues, because when we talk about future community development, it means it matters not just for my kid and, the neighbor's kids, but it matters for all of us, even if we don't have children. Is that hard for people to understand, the importance if their children are grown or if they, don't have children at home, that these are topics that are worthwhile discussing?
I think so, in some ways, although I do think that some people are becoming more aware, even within the past 5 years, with some of the work and the national attention that these initiatives have been receiving. I think that one of the best ways to phrase it is that you may not have a child yourself, or your children may be grown, but you know someone who does have a child, guaranteed. You know, you have a neighbor, or if, you know, you're an employer or your coworkers. So it becomes a community issue, and it also becomes a community issue because, of course, these are going to be our future leaders someday. And so we have to be very proactive about how we invest in their education and their development.
So let's talk about some of the SDAEYC, as the acronym there.
Yes.
Some of the public policy work. Where's your focus?
We have worked with South Dakota legislators on the past three early learning council bills. Most recently, that was HB 1175 that was introduced by Representative Aaron Healy. We also are working with the Rapid City Mayor's Office, along with the Vakurovich Foundation and the United Way of the Black Hills, for the initiative for the National League of Cities, which is to help Rapid City become what's called an early learning community. And what that means is building on strengths of the community, recognizing challenges that families are facing, and addressing disparities across racial, ethnic, socio-demographic, and also potentially geographic lines in the community. And we're hoping through some of that work that Rapid City can serve as kind of a pilot community for the state of South Dakota to show how community collaboration can really help our families and to help the young children within our community as well.
You mentioned, you know, the early learning experience of simply going to the grocery store, which, you know, it can be an adventure in and of itself. Put that into cultural context with what you just said then, and that for many people, those daily activities, such as figuring out, you know, what's for dinner, can look vastly different if you live in, you know, an urban community or a rural community, depending on the cultural that you're being raised in. How important is it to honor those different ways of looking at life experiences in different cultural contexts?
That is one of the most important things that we can do, is to honor culture and to honor the diversity. The thing across the board that we would like to raise awareness about is making sure that families, no matter of those types of circumstances, that they are interacting, communicating. You had pointed out the learning the alphabet via the app, being able to do things in real life. For instance, if you were at the grocery store, to be able to point out the letters that you see in the real environment, the colors, the shapes of things, and also honoring the intelligence of your little people, that and giving them choices, helping them be part of the process. You know, as you said, going to the grocery store in and of itself can be an adventure with young children.
Yeah. Give yourself some extra time. Yeah.
Exactly. But a good part of the process with that is, instead of making it this chore, if you make it a game, or if you tell them, okay, you know, we're going to give you options. Are we going to get the corn or the green beans? Okay. And they feel like they're part of the decision, and that definitely helps build their self-confidence.
When we talk about the early learning council bills in the state legislature, there wasn't a universal support of the idea of a state-sponsored preschool, for example. And some of those conversations hinged on different things. But what were you hearing as far as some of the challenges that you need to overcome to move the conversation forward with lawmakers?
I think that the biggest challenge that we're facing right now is a misconception about what we are hoping to achieve. Universal preschool was not part of this bill in any means, and it has been used repeatedly as a reason of why an early learning council should not be created. And what we are looking to do with the development of an early learning advisory council, because we're not the only state that has looked at this. We're one of the ones actually that does not have it. What we're looking at doing is creating a streamlined communication system and also equal representation for entities that are invested in early learning to have a state voice. So that's the biggest thing. And if you read through the bill, it's very specific about having representation from many different areas, and that includes parents of young children who do not have their children in any type of regulated care or any type of licensed care. We really want to see how we can work together to work on behalf of our young children, whether or not they're in any type of standardized care situation.
Does that take us back to the beginning with some of, or the beginning of our conversation today with some of those resources that are available to, you know, parents who are maybe doing that kind of activity themselves with their own children, as well as people who are providing care for other children?
Absolutely. Yes, we definitely want to be respectful of all of the different areas in which children are learning and provide resources to everyone.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to In the Moment on SDPB Radio, and we're talking about early childhood learning today with Jessica Castleberry. She's the president of the South Dakota Association for the Education of Young Children. And Jessica, you talk with a lot of parents and a lot of care providers for small children. What are some of the things that, you know, they're consistently drawn to, you know, wanting to know?
Well, as far as early childhood care and education providers, that's a very good question because we have such a diverse field in our state. We have a lot of in-home daycare providers. We have a lot of child care providers who are working in the larger centers, and so you have kind of a vast array of people who maybe have a high school diploma to people who have a master's degree. And so when they're coming to us asking questions and looking for resources, it can be everything from how do I make sure that I'm running a quality program, or how do I avoid things like burnout for people who are running, situations out of their home, to people who are on the higher end of the spectrum who want to know what they can be doing, you know, for higher accreditations and things of that nature. And then as far as parents are concerned, I think that a lot of parents are looking for ways that they can connect with their children when they're looking at maybe behavioral issues.
Sure.
That's something that seems to be a recurring theme when parents are reaching out.
Right. You had an April conference. What are some of the takeaways, you know, from that conference? And how often are there event-based activities?
We do have our statewide conference annually. And then within our affiliate, we also have local chapters. And so when you join our organization, you know, I already mentioned, then you become a part of the national organization, you become part of our state organization, but you also become part of the local chapter. And so we have several different local chapters that provide other events throughout the year. So Black Hills chapter of South Dakota Association for the Education of Young Children is a good example. They provide different networking opportunities, and they provide different trainings for people who are in the field or also for parents. And then Siouxland in Sioux Falls is another good example of one of our chapters. They actually hold a larger conference called Sioux Falls WOW each January, and they bring in special speakers like the Ooey Gooey Lady, and they have some great resources.
See, how can you not think this is fun when one of the speakers
right.
is the Ooey Gooey Lady, right?
Exactly.
What's next for the Early Learning Advisory Council conversation, you know, post-legislation?
During our conference in April, we held the first of a series of statewide in-person stakeholder meetings. And in attendance at that meeting, we had several entities from across the state, including Representative Aaron Healy was there, Representative Kelly Sullivan was there. We also had university representation, not in attendance, but part of the conversation, our school administrators of South Dakota, South Dakota Chamber of Commerce. So we have a lot of people who are at the table who are looking at how they can best support early learning. So as far as our next step, we're really looking at continuing to have the conversation about the Early Learning Advisory Council to align what our message is. And a big part of it is just to help educate on what we're trying to do to help with some of the fears and and to help assure people that we're looking at how we can improve things for all early learners in all early learning environments. And then at that point, then we'll feel comfortable with bringing forward a similar bill in the future. Right. I don't know that that's going to be next year. It may be the following year. But there's a lot of work going on behind the scenes so that people feel much more comfortable with the concept by the time that it's brought back.
Jessica Castleberry, president of South Dakota Association for the Education of Young Children. And you've said a couple times, Jessica, people can become members by going to your website. Tell folks what that website is. Where do they begin?
That is www.sdaeyc.org.
All right. Thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate it. Come back anytime.
Oh, thank you so much.